Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is February 6, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both at McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/25. Before we get started, just a quick announcement. If you would like to send Bill Kristol on an Iraqi vacation so he can see his handiwork for all of the wars that he's said were so necessary and great, then check out the show notes page, where you can send a donation to help send him to Iraq. McFlugel.com/25, also McFlugel.com/vacation. And just so you know, any and all donations we receive will be donated to antiwar.com for the great work that they do. So with that, I'll pass it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our topic.
Thank you, Raul. Thank you, everyone, for joining us again this week. Today, our topic is going to be on, what else, the left. And the way they're reacting to Donald Trump and everything he does. And this may shock you all, but I do not believe it is a principled response from them. I think it's very partisan. I think they just hate Donald Trump. And anything that Donald Trump does or says, they'll be against. Even if Bill Clinton said the same exact thing, or Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama, or anyone else for that matter. So with that, Rollo, Let's get started on the topic. What about the Muslim ban?
Sure. So we're just talking about this before we went on the air. As we all know, Donald Trump instituted a ban on people from certain countries.
And if you want to get technical, what was it? A temporary restriction on – it's like 90-day restriction on travel in the United States or something like that?
Right. And if you've ever heard us talking before or read a lot of our stuff, we're in favor of open borders. We're against the government saying who and what can go where. So we're obviously against this sort of travel restriction. But the left has absolutely lost their minds over it. And they're out protesting and, just putting on a big show, showing, solidarity with the Muslims and how much they care and everything. And to me, it's just a big load of hogwash. First of all, that they're calling it a Muslim ban when it's actually restricting everyone from those countries, and Muslims from other countries are not affected by it, as far as I know.
Yeah, I just think that shows a clear agenda. Right. Not that you need to point one out, but why not call it what it is? If you're reporting the news, call it what it is. They're calling it the Muslim ban, and it's not the Muslim ban. It's banning Muslims from six or seven countries or whatever, or banning people from those countries. Doesn't even ask about religion.
Right. And the fact that they have to resort to that just shows how ideologically and principally weak they are. That, we are both huge, huge critics of Donald Trump. Neither of us like him. But we can say exactly why we disagree with him and exactly why we don't like him. We don't have to make up stuff. But the bigger issue for me with all of this is kind of how their people are upset and talking about how much they stand with the Muslims and everything. And these are people that mostly supported Barack Obama, or at least were quiet about a lot of his actions. So
I think that's a fair statement, right, to say the least. Yeah.
So I find it very interesting that what it would take for them, the straw that would finally break the camel's back, for them to go run out in the streets and protest and make signs and stand in solidarity with the Muslims, is that Donald Trump says that some of them can't come into the country. Not that the last 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, literally every second of it, he was at war with Muslim countries, killing, slaughtering, and destroying the towns of Muslim people. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians are dead because of Barack Obama and the rest of the government? And let's not forget that George W. Bush had a big hand to do with this. As he was the one that not started, because it was going on well before him. But
same with Clinton, and same with Bush Senior, and
right. But they were the ones that really, or Bush was the one that really explicitly went to war, and Barack Obama just followed right in his footsteps and continue the war. And really, so you look back and you say, well, what was the difference between Obama's foreign policy and Bush's foreign policy? Nothing. And you look now and you ask, what's the difference between Donald Trump's foreign policy and Obama's foreign policy? Basically nothing so far. And then everyone was losing their minds over the 8-year-old girl that was killed in the airstrike in Yemen. But no one asked the question, wait, why are we bombing Yemen?
Or no one said, what is Yemen?
Right. And then say, well, when did we start bombing Yemen? Oh, under Barack Obama.
So, oh, we're fighting a war in Yemen?
Exactly. So it's so obviously politically motivated, these people, that and that absolutely disgusts me because, you know, we're both people that are actually anti-war no matter who's dropping the bombs. So and it bothers me. It actually bothers me, you know, that there are people get innocent people getting slaughtered around the world, especially since it's with my money that the government's taking me from me to do it. So that's very frustrating to me. So the fact that, and I thought that I might, you know, welcome these people. I made a video a little bit about it. I think we did an episode about, you know, how to deal with the left now that Trump was going to be president and whether we should, you know, kind of welcome them with open arms and work with them on things we agree with. I don't want to have anything to do with these people, this new politically driven anti-war left. Now, there's some out there that were fairly consistent or maybe just were quiet, but
not many.
Right. And I'll even, you know, meet them halfway, well, way more than halfway, if they acknowledge that Obama did the same thing and, yeah, that was wrong, okay, then we can talk. But if you're going to sit there and just ignore the fact that Obama was an absolute butcher and a murderer and just a war criminal, also committed crimes against humanity, I mean, I don't even have words for it with how disgusting of a human being you are that you care more about just that you hate Donald Trump and that you're still upset that your person didn't get elected president. So you're just going to use it as a tool to get what you want. It's the people, innocent people dying to these people is just a political tool. And that's unfathomably wrong to me.
I mean, and there's a lot we can look at in the last week and just remember back to when Obama was elected and see how the sides have switched. But not to get off topic, I agree with you on everything you're saying. I think it's very convenient to be up in arms, protesting, angry that this guy is so mean to Muslims while 26,000 bombs were dropped in the Middle East last year.
That's what we know of.
Exactly.
I saw an article the other day that the military doesn't even track a lot. They don't even have a good, accurate count of how many airstrikes there were.
But also, one airstrike could be 10 bombs, could be 100 bombs. Right. We know there was 26,000 strikes. Who knows how many? Who knows how many lives were lost? Nobody knows. They don't keep track.
But it's incredible that it's not like we didn't know about this kind of stuff. There was with the 8-year-old girl that got killed, that was all over the news. And people, that's so terrible. I can't believe it. What about all like the funerals and the weddings that were drone striked under Obama that no one cared about? It wasn't it got brought up and it was like, yeah, exactly. You know,
mistakes happen. That's war.
There was that American that got killed in the drone strike, and Obama and the politicians went up and they had the tears in their eyes. And like, this can't happen. This is a mistake, and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's, it's just, it's so fake.
It's infuriating.
So the other interesting thing about the hypocrisies going on was that, so, you know, last week you had everyone upset that Trump's military killed the 8-year-old girl, which is horrible. And I don't mean to use that as a way to be like, oh, look at these idiots, how much hypocrites. Let's put it out there in case you don't understand how I feel about that. That's disgusting and it's wrong and it's horrible. So there's that, and people were acting upset over it. And then the other day, Donald Trump was on being interviewed by Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly asked something like, you know, it's the whole Putin, Trump, Russia thing, and say, well, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here for both of them. You know, Putin's a murderer, and he murders people that are, don't agree with him. And Trump said, well, I mean, we have murderers here too. And then everyone flips out. How dare you compare the United States to Russia? They are evil, and they kill people, and they go out and murder. Well, you were just complaining about Donald Trump murdering someone, and now he doesn't? I mean, what is it? What is it? And that just shows... Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. But that just shows how it's just all politics to them. They just disagree and just take the opposite stance of whatever Trump is saying at that moment. And it doesn't matter that 3 seconds ago, they were saying the absolute opposite thing. And I don't know exactly what Trump meant by that statement, but you know what? The United States government murders people all the time. The ones we were talking about just now in the wars in the Middle East and everything. And people were saying, like, well, Putin, they've killed reporters and everything. Oh, you don't think the U.S. government's has killed reporters and people disagree with them or thrown them in prison? Why do you think Eric Snowden is not in the country right now? What do you think Julian Assange isn't in the country now? They actually did a good thing and freed Chelsea Manning after incarcerating her.
Her videos was an Apache helicopter killing a reporter.
Right, exactly. And then we also have the murders of the murder of Seth Rich that no one really questioned. There's Andrew Breitbart died very mysteriously. Who was the other guy? There was a reporter. Hastings was William Hastings. His car just, you know, because cars explode.
Happens all the time.
And then Barrett Brown just got out of prison. Actually, he was a journalist who was saying things covering stories that the government didn't like, so they threw him in prison for a while. So, yeah, they are. The United States government is at the same moral level as the Russian government.
But what do they know about the Russians? And I mean that seriously. To talk to anyone and ask for any specifics about Russia and see what they say. There's a lot of snow there. They know nothing. Nobody knows about Russia.
Right. Well, there's borscht, I guess. They eat that, right?
Yeah. And vodka. Yeah. Beets, right?
Yeah.
Pierogies.
And KGB.
Yeah, the KGB's there. That's right.
But yeah, exactly. No one knows anything about Russia, just like they don't know anything about
the United States government.
Exactly. Like they're with this whole, and I hate to call it that, but the Muslim ban. Not that long ago, Obama banned Cuban refugees from coming into the country. And then people actually started having to acknowledge that, and you saw actually it wasn't quite a ban.
It was a little different. What he meant was he was doing it in a polite way and just asking them to stay out.
Well, that makes it better because, you know, and the thing about that is, you know, and again, I completely disagree with this ban from people coming from these other countries. But at least, like, these are countries that we're at war with. We're not at war with Cuba. And there's never been a person from Cuba, as far as I know, that comes to the United States and tries to kill people. So at least there's some, and I, again, I don't agree with it, but at least there's some sense in not letting people from a place like Afghanistan, whom we're at war with, into the country. Now, I think there's much better ways of not being attacked by people from other countries, namely not being at war with them for no reason at all. But, I mean, neither are good or acceptable, but banning Cuban refugees? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they'll bend over backwards to make excuses. It's funny. It just, this whole thing just reminds me, like, I guess a judge is blocking his ban. Maybe I read that.
Yes.
And so the Democrats are saying, well, that's how the system works, and there's checks and balances, and that's what it's supposed to be. Yet when Obama was president, it was because the Republicans were obstructionists and wouldn't let anything done. So he has to do executive orders because the Republicans won't do it. Let them do anything. And both sides just kind of flip on it. You know, you don't see the Republicans defending the judge. Maybe they are. I haven't seen Republicans defending the judge for blocking it. It's just funny how once the next guy comes in, everyone changes their stance on just about everything. Executive orders are now bad.
Well, yeah, and that's the huge hypocrisy for both sides, because when Obama was doing it, all the people on the right were saying, that's so terrible, he's a dictator. And
I know. He's got to get stuff done. He campaigned on it. He's got to do it. He won. We get to do it, you know?
It's an absolute flip-flop on all this stuff. And you predict it. You call it. And you tell these people that this is what's going to happen. And they say, no, it won't.
Well, it's funny. This is anecdotal, but a woman I work with, and she's the sweetest lady. She's so nice. But unfortunately, she hasn't thought too hard on politics, and she's a Democrat. And, you know, she comes to me, instead of just outright saying she hates Donald Trump and everything Donald Trump does, she says, you know, it's just, why does he have to ignore the Constitution? Yeah. I'm not lying.
That is funny because now the Constitution is the holiest thing of the left.
Yeah, it's the word of God. The Constitution now. Where was that? I told her, the Constitution. When was the last time that was followed?
Right, and exactly.
She said, oh, well, you know, Obama and da-da-da. And I don't think she really wanted to challenge me because she didn't go too much farther.
Right. But yeah.
Just funny that for the last 8 years, all I heard from Republicans was the Constitution. And I think that generally Republicans do hold a special spot in their heart for the Constitution.
Or they say they do.
Well, that's what I mean. They say that. Like, I think they want to.
They want to.
That's what I mean. They kind of believe it. Like, they like the idea of having this document that is going to keep us all free and protect you from the government. But, for the last 8 years, they just kept talking about how Obama's violating it, and then Trump comes in and does his executive orders, and it's all good. And the flip side, you know, well, that's how the, checks and balances work. That's how it works. The judge has to come in and stop these things, and that's great. That's good that he did that. Yet when Obama did it, it was the complete opposite story from these people. And so what I tell them is, hey, why don't you come to my side? Just be consistent.
Right. It makes it a lot easier. I mean, you don't have to do like pretzel logic to.
Yeah. You don't have to like be in your car and think like, how am I going to bring this up, man? You just be consistent.
Yeah. It's pretty simple. It's you have a principle. Like, let's bring it back to what we were talking about in the beginning. War. All right, are you in favor of war or not in favor of war? Let's say, you want to be not in favor of war. Okay.
You can put caveats on that. Hey, what happens when everyone invades you? Well, then let's have a war, right? We'll defend ourselves.
Sure.
I mean, but who's defending their homeland is a question you should ask when thinking about our current wars.
Right.
And are you for aggression? Again, what if one innocent person dies? I mean, some people would be like, well, if we save the world for one innocent person, a consequentialist view?
Yeah, or utilitarian.
Utilitarian, yeah.
Probably both, I guess.
Yeah, it's utilitarian. You could take that view. Of course, I'd argue against it, I do say I'm against all wars because when was the last time there really was a defensive war? It was War of 1812. I don't know how that started. I don't really know much about that one.
I don't know.
But are you in favor of killing massive amounts of people? If yes.
Well, no, but, you know, I don't want that, but, you know, we still have to fight wars. All right, well, why does a war not kill or have massive casualties? And the thing I tell people is that I'm pretty sure your view on war would be a lot different if it were being fought in your backyard. It's so incredibly convenient to be in favor of war when it's happening on the other side of the world, when it's not your family, not your neighbors, not your house, not you getting blown to bits. And then you wonder why they hate the United States. They hate us for our freedom. Right, because it's just so unbelievable.
It hurts. It hurts your head to think about it, to wonder how they wrestle with it, the cognitive dissonance to where they just justify whatever their politician does. It's pretty sad.
Right, and when it's hundreds of thousands of lives. Those are just people that are killed, not to mention all the lives that are ruined.
The businesses that are ruined, the families that are torn apart, the neighborhoods that are ripped apart, literally. People are displaced. I mean, could you just imagine packing up and going to name a country, name another state, just going on your own with your family? You lose your whole livelihood. Your whole 30 years of life is gone.
Yeah,
everyone you knew.
Can you imagine your house is just gone and your neighborhood gone? Half your family, half people you know just gone, and you got to leave with just whatever you happen to have on you at that point?
Yeah, just go.
Like, everything is gone. Like, there's no, like, well, I just have insurance in my house. No, the infrastructure that allows for insurance, gone. You have nothing. So.
Sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. And it's very, very sad that people use that simply as a way to gain ground in their political movement to get whatever, you know, thing they want out of it.
I mean, I think it's crazy that if I say I'm against every war, that I'm looked at as the extreme one. And the person who is in favor of drone strikes or, you know, limited airstrikes with no boots on the ground, that's policy decisions. That's a reasonable stance. But when you say, I don't want to kill anyone, or at least innocent people, that's the extreme one. That's where you're kind of, you get your people roll their eyes and like, yeah, he's one of those people, one of those anti-war people. Yeah.
It's so emotionally charged, and it's all about, they just connect it. Well, what do you hate the soldiers?
Yeah, right.
Which we've talked about that here.
Of course.
So I don't know. I think that about wraps up what I have to say on it.
Yeah, the only thing is that I want to say is in conclusion is if you're listening to this and you are one of the people who was very upset with Obama for doing these executive orders and now you're defending Trump and you can't figure out why you're doing it, read anything, an article by Murray Rothbard, and comment on our video if you disagree with us. We'd be happy to talk to you politely. We like the debate. And, you know, it's nice to be consistent. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And I think our enemies, in air quotes, would appreciate it too.
Absolutely.
So with that, do you have anything on the free market for this week?
Sure. So this Friday night, this past Friday night, I bought a tractor. That probably sounds stupid or boring to most people, but it was very exciting for me. I could do all sorts of tractory things with it. It's an old International Cub Lowboy 154 from 1971, if anyone's into tractors.
It's a great year.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great vintage. But it was Craigslist. It's we're all familiar with. And, you know, I spent a decent amount of money on it, as people do with a lot of things on Craigslist. And so how did I, you know that I was... Whenever people spend money and they do it outside of the government, or there's suggestions that it could be done in the market without so much government controls, how do you know you're not going to get cheated or robbed or whatever? Well, went out the Sunday before and looked at the tractor. It actually wasn't working at the time, but I brought some people and we got it started up and going. Felt comfortable with it, and the guy actually was nice enough to deliver it to my house.
That is nice.
Yeah. Oh, it saved me running a trailer and getting a truck. So, you know, we're both happy with it. He has the money now. I've got the tractor. We both figured out ways that we were comfortable with not getting taken advantage of through the transaction. And, you know, life's good. So
well, that's interesting. So I have some questions, I guess. I know nothing about tractors, except I do know that 1971 is considered the golden age of tractors. That's where they built the best ones.
Oh,
so you got
it?
A good one. No, I have no idea.
Okay.
But anyway, you went online, you went on Craigslist, and you found the tractor. I don't know if you are looking for a 1970. I don't even know how long tractors last. Do they last 50 years?
Oh, they last forever, basically.
Okay, so whatever. You went on. You were looking for different tractors. You found this one. If it's me and I'm buying a tractor and I see 1971, I go, well, if I bought a year 2000 car, I'd be like, oh, that's 17 years old. That's kind of old. I don't know if I want that. I have to look at it. So 1971 is much older than that. Mm-hmm. You probably had some concerns.
Sure.
You wanted to make sure everything worked. Wanted to make sure this guy wasn't going to take your money and run. Because mm-hmm. what's your legal recourse? You know, I'm sure there is. You know, he did sell you something. Did you have documentation written up? Did you?
No. paid in cash.
Paid cash. So he could have robbed you.
Yes.
Basically. Yep. So what did you do to prevent that? Because, you know, on the surface, that sounds pretty scary. You're going to buy a tractor from 1971. This guy's not a certified dealer. He's not a licensed dealer or whatever. Does he have a reputation? Has he sold tractors before? Did you ask? What did you do? Did you go test it? Did you?
Sure.
You know, you said it wasn't even working. So why would you buy this from the guy?
Well, I went over to his house last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, and we got it running. We figured out kind of what diagnosed the problem, or I didn't, but figured out why it wasn't running and got it started. Drove it around a little bit, saw that he had another tractor that he had restored. So just by being around his garage and looking at his property and seeing the other stuff, it was pretty obvious that, you know, the guy deals with tractors. And mm-hmm. out where I live, that's actually not rare at all. you see, and it's funny because before I moved out to where I am, the idea of people like selling tractors and having a tractor was so foreign to me. Like, how would you get a hold of a tractor? But there's tractors on like every other person's front yard with a for sale sign. So it's a normal thing out here. It's not, I know for a lot of people, especially if you're not used to any sort of country living, it sounds really weird and crazy. And how would, you know, that's such a crazy thing to buy. You know, it's a normal thing out here. And also, you know, I brought my brother along who owns the same model tractor. So he knew what he was looking at. But yeah, I mean, it's just any way that you would buy anything from someone that's not, you know, doesn't have a reputation like a store, you know, go to a Sears or a Home Depot and having that trust because they've got the brand name there. It's, you know, it's kind of intuition, gut feeling. You know, I could have gone there and thought like, you know, this guy looks like he's a scam artist. I don't trust him. But, well, and also the guy was a really nice guy. And I think that means something too.
Yeah, so you got conned. Anyway, now, well, my next question was, so you're going to buy this 1971 tractor that doesn't even work.
Well, it did. It does. We got it running, and well, it worked. Well,
right. But when you first went there, it did.
Right.
And so he must have been real annoyed when you wanted to test it and try it do different things, right? He was really upset about that you were asking him all these questions?
No, he was more than happy to let us do whatever we wanted to do with the tractor to try to get it going.
So you mean he wanted to sell it?
Yeah. Believe it or not, he put that tractor on Craigslist in a for sale.
And he was willing to do whatever it was to make you comfortable with it.
Yep.
And make a trade so that you're happy and that he's happy. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And no one forced it. No one required it. He didn't check his dealer license or whatever?
Nope.
Okay, so now all you have to do is pay the tax.
Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, of course it is. So, good. Well, that's a pretty cool story. I think just in our day-to-day interactions, you see so many just really fascinating things that happen in the market. Right. And we don't think twice about it. That story is not very remarkable to most people on the surface. And then when you think about it, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. So,
I have nothing else to add.
Okay. So with that, be sure to check out the show notes page, mcflugel.com/25, where you will find links to subscribe to us on both iTunes and Stitcher. Also subscribe to the email list so you can be kept up to date on all of our posts. And you can also like us on Facebook and follow each of us on Twitter. Links on the show notes page. And please, you know, share us with your friends and family, anyone you think might agree or disagree with us. We're, like Slappy said earlier in the episode, we're more than happy to debate.
Yeah, we enjoy it. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening.